On this week's extinction event, these lions were big and rumored to have taken down elephants. It's the Cape Lions.
Let's go.
Did you ever feel so bad inside?
Welcome to Extinction Event, Jack.
Hello, Melissa. Another lion one, huh?
Yeah, I do like a lion. This one has been requested by Connor for some time now. Some time. I want to say years at this point.
Well, it's a good request. Lions are always, you know, interesting one. I famously did a lion episode about a man-eating lion.
Chompawant or something?
Was it a lion? The
beast of Chompawant.
It was a tiger.
The tiger.
All right. So I didn't do a lion episode, but...
It's just a little plug for your episode is what that was.
I was trying to, but then I remembered it was a tiger episode. Whatever. Big cat eats people.
There's overlaps. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of days ago when we were getting ready to record this, I asked if there was some intro we could do a little... news about animals to start it off instead of just jumping right into Cape Lion. I didn't tell you it was going to be Cape Lion, but what?
What'd you find?
Well, you told me to do whales and AI. Like, they're using artificial intelligence to communicate with whales, right?
It was a pretty good suggestion.
I spent a few minutes looking into it, and I just... It wasn't my thing. I don't know. It sounds cool, but then when you read about what they're doing, it's just not there yet.
So what are they doing? What did you learn?
I did not read a lot, but they're using the AI to figure out patterns and vocal ranges and tones. And like, one, they know that all the whales speak in different sort of dialects, different regional dialects. And then two, they had a quote-unquote 20-minute conversation with one whale using AI, and I just was
too interesting, too
was
cool.
What are you saying? Well, like, what are you guys talking about?
They're
Nobody
figuring
knows.
Out the patterns. They're figuring out the what little sentences mean, and they're using AI to recognize those patterns.
But
I think it's cool.
It's cool. It's just not there yet. That's what I imagine them saying. The internet, you know, when the internet first started and all it was nerds on there and they were sending cryptic messages across the world.
But that's what's exciting is it doesn't have to be solved today, but that you're on the road and you can imagine in 5 years. I'm going to put that
I
out
can't.
There.
I'm more of a mainstream person. It's got to be.
They're going
like,
to be like, this bleep, bleep, bloop means I want a fish.
That's, yeah, when you get to that point, let me know, and I will start paying attention. Until then, I'm good. Okay, what I did instead is I looked up about giant beavers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you know about giant beavers?
No, I didn't know there was a bunch of different sized beavers.
These, they're extinct.
Oh.
Okay. Late Pleistocene extinction. Which we are familiar with on the show. Let me tell you how big they were. They could be up to seven, like a little over 7 feet tall. That's a little over 2 meters. A beaver the size of a very tall person.
Yeah.
They could weigh from...
A beaver can get in the NBA. 7 feet tall.
Is there a 7 foot tall person?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the tallest person?
There's guys who are like 7 foot 11.
That's crazy. That's a disability at that point.
I don't know about that, but it's remarkable.
It is remarkable. That's a good use of that word.
Yes.
They could weigh 170 pounds to maybe 260. They think it's probably wasn't common to be that heavy. But if you think about it being 7 feet tall, I don't think 270 is that off.
No, that seems about right. 160, I'm like, this is a skinny beaver, like,
right.
Not gonna work out. But 260, all right, it's got some meat on him. That seems apt. That seems correct for a 7 foot tall beaver.
I
what else you got on them?
Oh, their tail may not have been as paddle shaped as the modern beavers, so maybe just a little more skinny.
Mm-hmm.
I just am trying to visualize seeing one of those in the wild. I guess it'd be like a bear in a way, but these are rodents.
Yeah,
a beaver's a rodent. Ones. Yeah,
yeah. Were they still building like huge dams?
There's overlap with humans and them. Like the humans were around when giant beavers were around. Mm-hmm. And they are part of the storytelling and the myths that those peoples had, and those were passed down. And there are stories about them building giant dams. So maybe.
Dams/beaver cities. Could you just like a condominium of giant beavers all put together? Could be cool. Could be fan fiction.
So a rodent does seem like a creature where a lot of them get together, right? As opposed to like a bear. You don't see a bunch of bears together.
Not usually, no.
But beavers in the wild, but they've just got their little clan. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the beaver group.
Clan seems good.
But just the close family members. You don't see a lot of other beavers. You don't see beaver cities nowadays, which is a shame.
You should. Or maybe you've never seen them ever. So we're going out on a stretch here.
No, I don't live in beaver territory.
What else you got on beavers?
Well, let me tell you what we think happened. Again, a late Pleistocene extinction. So probably around 10,000 years ago. With all of those that happened at that time, we can't definitively say. Usually it's a combination of climate and environmental factors and the arrival of humans. So just a reminder, over the time span of many of these species, they had endured and survived many dramatic climate changes and environmental changes. The only thing different about the late Pleistocene is the arrival of humans. We've talked about this tons of times on the show. So humans could have been hunting these beavers,
mm-hmm.
and possibly that combined with the slow climactic changes led to its extinction.
It's your standard how everything got extincted in that time period.
Yeah.
Rise of humans, possible factor, climate change, changing their environment, changing what they eat, etc.
Yeah.
Although it mixed together doesn't make for a good stew. See you later. Thanks for playing giant beaver.
Thanks for playing. Yeah. And one other thing is that if you put yourself as a human in the late Pleistocene, you are small in comparison to a lot of those creatures that perish at this time. This is a rodent. Not that we understood what a rodent was at that juncture, but it's bigger than you.
Yeah,
because I don't think humans were that tall back then.
It was a lot of things bigger than you,
yeah.
as a human back then.
So it makes sense that we could have systematically wiped out all these creatures. There could have been generations of humans that were like anti-beaver clans dedicated to systematically eradicating them.
It could have been.
Yeah.
A story lost to the sands of history. An entire civilization of beaver eradicators.
Right.
We don't know.
That's my story.
All right, let's get on to this lion.
Okay, the Cape Lion. Here you go, Connor. This is another one we believe that there is only one photo of the species.
Fake.
Fake. Let me show you this photo.
I would have loved back in the day, you know, like a bit very... When was photography invented? You know that off the top of your head?
I don't.
Well, you know, this stuff like tintype deals where they're going out there. I'd have loved to be the guy who just doctors this and creates all these like, you know, oh, here's a picture of this Loch Ness monster and here's it. And then just sells it to circuses and stuff. Mm, and, you know,
that would be cool.
Basically very early Photoshop.
Right.
Deep fake kind of things. You know, the equivalent like... taxidermists put together different animals and then they mm-hmm. go show it around and be like, look at this. It's a real mermaid.
Jackalope.
And it's
like, oh, the mermaid. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like somebody grafted a fish body onto an infant.
I saw one of those when I was a, a kid.
Yeah.
And it had a lasting effect on me. Yeah. I can still see it.
So I would have very much enjoyed that back in the day.
I think it's okay. You're getting some good entertainment out of that.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for this photo?
Yeah.
Ta-da!
All right. Melissa has shown me a very disappointing, disappointed looking lion behind bars, like cartoonishly behind bars, the way you'd expect in any like 1800 zoo. And he looks very depressed, but his mane is striking. It looks like it's got some product in there.
You know, even on a down day, it's important to have your hair looking good. If you have any.
This says that he was in Paris, so.
Right.
Naturally, you're going to be looking good.
Right. This is another Jardin des Plantes animal. And one of these days, I'll figure out how to say that. But.
A few more years of French.
High school wasn't enough. Obviously, that's not as epic as the Barbary lion image that you still think is photoshopped as well.
Yes.
That's the one in the Atlas Mountains walking in the sands, and you can see the little footprints behind it. That's the last one.
Right.
I agree.
It definitely wasn't made at the Walt Disney Studios.
Okay. This one is not in the wild. It is captive. Like turn of the century zoo or whatever. It's depressing indeed. But the fact that we have a photo of one right before it's gone is pretty cool. What did they look like?
They look like a lion. I could tell you this part.
They look like a lion, but like I've said in the intro, they're big. These are big lions. Their most defining characteristic was the mane that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it was dark. It was a black mane. And they also had black-tipped ears.
That's pretty badass.
It looks cool.
How many times have you seen Lion King?
Not a ton. I watched it a little bit.
Because the antagonist in the film, Lion King, is Scar. And it's kind of describing what you've just described. Black mane.
Yeah.
Not as big as Mufasa, so there you go.
Yeah, that wouldn't be real. Cape Lion stuff there, but.
But yeah. Like, because I haven't seen a lot of black mane lions except for Scar.
Okay. Did he have a fully black mane?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't know that there is a lion like that. Even these ones, it kind of faded a little bit as it got closer to the face.
Mm-hmm.
There was just like a little area of transition into the face. It wasn't just like, okay, only black and then the face.
Yeah. A bit of an ombre, if you will.
Ombre, is that the... Right.
Sort of gradient.
Gradient. That's yes. So the black mane is not very common among other lions, but it does happen. There are studies that show that the color of a lion's mane can change depending on the climactic variables and can also just vary between lions. So the manes can be darker in longer and cooler climates. If you go to like Siberia and you see a lion in a zoo there, it could have black in its mane because of that.
Interesting.
But these were not in a cold climate. So this was special to them. Also, just a disclaimer is that I'm not going to go super deep into this, but the genetic standing of this lion, the theory at this point is that it was just a southernmost population of the southern African lion, which still exists.
Okay.
So we're talking about most likely a regional extinction from a genetic perspective.
Got it.
But I still think it's cool because the other lions in that it theoretically was related to didn't have the black mane. So it's still fun to talk about this one, even though it might not be its own thing. So I said they were big. The adult males could weigh between 400 and 500 pounds.
It's a big boy.
That's massive.
Right.
That's 180 to 225 kilograms. They could reach a length of up to 9 feet from head to tail. So that's around 2.7 meters.
Yeah, this is getting to be a bummer now. This sounded like the most badass lion on the planet.
Yeah, I'm trying to visualize it. Basically, if you took a giant beaver and put it flat, like stood it up like a lion, we're talking about...
Well, that common reference everybody knows, which is like a giant beaver. If you start there, and then now you can imagine how big this lion is. You know what I want to know? I want to see, I guess, I don't know when they went extinct, but I want to see if, like, in Gladiator, the movie, mm-hmm. you know how they, like, fight lions?
Yeah.
It would have been a cool touch if they made it, like, an extinct lion, like a cape lion. I don't think they did, but that would have been cool. Maybe they're Gladiator, too. You don't know?
I definitely think that they were around for that. So we.
If somebody has an in to the production of Gladiator 2, try and get them to slip in this cape lion with a black mane that's like huge.
Yes. Wouldn't that be a cool little Easter egg?
It would be such a nice touch.
Yeah. Just for the people who are obsessed with extinction.
I think other people would just feel it too. They're like, whoa, there's something huge and different and extinct about this lion. It seems not long for this world.
Okay. I already talked about where they lived, which was the, sort of. The southern, Cape.
Huh? The Cape.
The Cape, kind of. Right. All around that region, it extended from the coastal region of the Cape of Good Hope up to the Great Escarpment and into parts of Namibia.
Nambia?
Nambia. What is the Great Escarpment, you ask?
What's an escarpment?
I thought you knew about this kind of stuff. Weren't you good at geography? Like, what's an escarpment?
That's like geology.
Yeah, but the Great Escarpment is talking about one in particular.
The Republic of the Great Escarpment. That's like saying the Great Peninsula.
Okay, so you don't
define.
No.
I'm asking you.
This is one of those things I thought you would know. Basically, an escarpment is just a huge drop-off that... In this case, happens where the central plateau of that region ends. Like, it's highest at around 3,000 meters or 10,000 feet. So it's basically a mountain. If you were at the bottom of it, it's like a mountain, and then it just slopes down, drops off. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
All right, I get it. Tough for a lion to climb. Natural boundary.
It's like how. Where did the public education school system fail me that I don't know what an escarpment is?
I'm going to defend the public education system here, being like, how useful is it to know what an escarpment is? You probably were taught that when you were learning about different biomes and stuff. And I remember a map that has all the different peninsula, isthmus, all that.
Isthmus?
Probably, yeah.
What's that?
It's like a island type thing. It was probably on that map. And guess what? It didn't need to stick because it's not very important.
What do we need to know? What are the
how to do taxes? Some financial literacy would be nice. You know, stuff that's going to affect you for the rest of your life.
I hate to even talk about this, but we did have a class where we learned a little bit about sewing. And at the time, I was so angry at that class. I was like, they're trying to make me be a woman and put me in my place. I mean, there were guys in the class, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I took a sewing class.
Yeah, and it is what I still know how to sew.
There you go.
I can use a sewing machine. It was one of the most useful classes I've ever taken.
I am on board with making all school hands-on physical labor and put them down in the mines. That's what I say. A day in the mines will...
Technical
enrich
college.
The mind.
In the minds will enrich. That sounds like some old school stuff from industrial
Robert
revolution.
Yep. What? That's what I'm going for.
Okay. Also, this escarpment, the great one, it's approximately 5,000 kilometers long, or just over 3,000 miles. So it's longer than the United States.
That's a big escarpment. Does it go extinct?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm really talking it up, this escarpment. It has no bearings on the story whatsoever. I didn't know what an escarpment was, and now I do. And I'll probably forget next month what it is.
Oh, I don't think so.
I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the story. How many lions do you think humans kill a year? I was going to say, how many humans do you think lions kill per year?
I'm going to assume it's pretty rare. And on the cases where it does happen, it's usually like because they're starving, or like from what we learned about some of those man-eating tigers is they have like something messed up with their teeth, so they can't hunt their usual prey, so they have to go after other types, which ends up being humans. I'm going to say like maybe 50.
50.
That would be a lot to me.
Oh, okay. What if I say it's I was trying to do the math on that. 400% more?
Okay, you'd have to give me a real number.
I didn't even know.
Not that's theoretical mathematics. 400 20. What is that, like
200?
200 lions?
200 a year around. 200.
Attacked or killed?
I think it's killed. Didn't check a lot of sources on that.
All right. I mean, I'm actually encouraged by that because that means there's a lot of lions out there.
Like I said, I'm going about one Google result deep on that.
And yeah.
Yeah, I got that 200 number.
All right, so it was a little low, but like I said, encouraged.
So they typically attack at night.
Mm-hmm.
Their very sharp claws can wound pretty deep. And their jaws
cut you real good.
They get you, but it's not like a paper cut, like the one I got before we recorded.
Oh God!
It's pretty deep, and their jaws can crack your bones and your skull.
Yeah, lions are
pretty scary.
They'll do it to you.
Yet we still villainize wolves for having never killed a human once in the history of their relationship with humans.
Oh, I'm sure that's true.
I don't know the circumstances. I think they're probably similar to the ones you say. It's usually they need to go to the dentist and they're not feeling good.
Do you think that kind of applies to people, that dental pain can drive someone mad?
Oh, heck yeah. I think almost anything can drive a human mad in a relatively short period of time.
Hmm.
It could
maybe
be like
all those like weird quack doctors, you know, who are sending people to the insane asylum and taking out all their teeth were up to something. They knew something. You know those stories?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like
the 1800s, they'd be like, this woman is hysterical. Let's take out all her teeth. And all she was like, had PMS.
Honestly, I had an impacted wisdom tooth.
Mm-hmm.
That my whole life, the doctors were like, you don't really need to take this out. You don't really need to get rid of this. And then finally, when I was well into adulthood, one dentist was like, you should probably get this one out of there because it's like close to your mm-hmm. nerve. And
that's when the voices stopped.
Pretty much. I was grinding my teeth for years and years. And
you were trying to get it out.
I felt so much better when it came out. And it didn't hurt per se before that, but I just felt.
All our bad thoughts are in our teeth.
Yeah.
Free them. Free yourself.
See your old timey doctor today. Okay, so what is their actual natural prey? Humans aren't. So the Cape Lions had a diverse habitat that they had adapted to. There's savannas, grasslands, woodland fringes. You name it.
You basically describe the same habitat. A savanna and a grassland? No way.
See, you
a
do.
A wooded fringe?
No, you do know about this stuff. That's why I was surprised about the escarpment. Did I really just say the three things that are the same?
They're different, but they're like gradients of okay. each other.
All right. So in those very similar habitats, they're mostly hunting ungulates, so hoofed animals like antelope, zebras, giraffes, and buffaloes. But it is rumored that they could take down elephants as well.
I've seen footage of lions today trying to take down elephants, so that surprises me 0%.
Right. But it's a little more work, right?
Oh, yeah. You watch the videos now, you're like, what are they doing? They're not going to get this elephant down.
Yeah.
It's like me trying to jump on the garbage truck going down the street.
Are they going for like the weak spot underneath?
I could do it. I could immobilize a garbage truck. If the door's unlocked.
You're just going to go in and press the brake?
Look, if I was lying in wait, waiting for a garbage truck to come up, and my goal was to immobilize it and take the sweet fillings inside, mm-hmm. I could do it if the door's unlocked.
We can cut this, but I've been reading this article about trash in New York and how if you lose something in the trash, like my wedding ring or something really important,
yeah,
they can track down where, like, the truck that took your trash, if you know what day that was.
Yeah.
And they will take the bags and dump it out in front of you at the facility, and you can look through and try and find it. And people find their stuff.
That, I'm not surprised at all. New York has the greatest trash system in the world, I'm convinced.
Oh, that's not what that article is about, how it's pretty archaic.
From personal experience, it was one of the greatest features of New York. You got trash, put it on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. It's gone.
It's gone. Anything. Huge stuff.
Anything.
Yeah.
Gone.
You could put a grand piano out there, and it will be gone.
Stack grand pianos on top of each other. Gone.
It's
no calls, it is nice. Nothing. I don't got to arrange an appointment. You're just like, meh, put it on the sidewalk. Gone.
They're trying to get big, what are those, the big trash cans, the dumpsters.
Hmm.
They're trying to put more of those out because it's more sanitary. But it could take away parking spaces, so it'll never happen.
Hmm.
So they were common near Cape Town and the surrounding areas well into the 18th century. The first British occupation of that area will begin in 1795, and that's when they start being hunted pretty aggressively. It's the usual story here. Population growth, more livestock comes in, and the new settlers are also killing quite a few ungulates, which is the prey of the lions. That means the Cape lions have less food. And they start killing the settlers' donkeys, their cattle, or whatever, which the settlers don't like.
Pretty easy to grow attached to a donkey. And if someone takes that away from you, you're not going to be happy.
Just red.
You're going to be blind with rage.
Right.
Donkey revenge.
Don't mess with my donkey. We know about this process. We've talked about it a lot of times, and
hit me with it. They put out a bounty, they poison. What are they doing? Traps? They're coming after their cattle.
Hunting them. I think it's just guns, hunting them down with guns.
Okay.
And it's going to happen pretty fast. And normally, habitat destruction is also a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
They actually think that wasn't a huge part of this because they were killed so fast. It was happening faster than the population was expanding. It's just hunting them down. And I think when we talk about lions, and we talked about it before, we love taking those because if you're a man during that time, that is one of the most, I wanted to say badass things you could do, right?
Hunt lions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You come back with a lion and you feel pretty good for that time. I'm not supporting that in any way. I'm just, that was the...
Like, this is from the POV of, like, an English colonizer dude.
Right.
You've gone through your prep schools and then, like, yeah, now we send you down to the Cape and you come back with a lion skin. You're basically a celebrity.
Right. That
celebrity badass.
Right. And you get it stuffed and...
Yeah.
It's in your whatever, wherever.
It becomes your legend.
Right. So the chance to do that is probably pretty luring for a lot of these settlers. And they're just like, oh, I'm going to get me one of these. The population tanks pretty rapidly from around 10,000 lions to just 100 in a few decades. It's a lot.
That's crazy.
Right.
They must have been real easy to pick off or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There's not a lot of info on the decline of this one. It's one where I'd love some really smart person to go write a book on it so I could read it. But we don't have that yet. So it's rumored that the last Cape lion was seen in the Cape province in 1858. So if they settled right around the 1800, that's, you know, a little over 50, 60 years, they're gone. Which is not the fastest extinction we've ever had, but pretty fast. So they kill that. There's one killed. It's an adult. There's another account of one about 10 years later in Natal. That's possibly the last one. And then there's another rumor of another one that was like taken from the wild. But we don't have details.
Not really confirmed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 1850s, 60s. Then the last, there's captive lions though, right? That one I showed you a picture of at the beginning, that Cape lion in
eating a baguette.
It was eating a baguette. Berry. Do you think that they would do that? They'd come by and, like, you know how the prison guards have their...
a scrap of baguette.
Yeah, and so it's like a hard baguette, and they're just, like, taking it down the poles of the zoo cage there, like...
They don't use batons. They use baguettes, hard baguettes. Yeah,
and then
I do think that.
And then you give it to the lion, even though that's probably terrible
for it. It's a treat. What do you mean, give it? Like, beat the lion with a baguette?
No, just
give it to
stick it in. Here's a baguette.
It's a good way to lose a baguette.
Well, yeah.
They're probably feeding them chickens and old dogs and stuff.
Yeah. Rodents.
Rodents.
Got a lot of rodents. Okay, so that's in Jardin des Plantes and Paris around 1860, that photo. And that could be the last known captive lion, Cape lion. But
question.
Hard to say. Yeah.
Did they give him a name? Endling.
I'm sure he had one, but it's been lost to history. Sadly. It is believed that the species went extinct in the wild by 1870.
That seems pretty accurate. Like, if they see, like, this is probably the last one, they wait about 20 years before they say, all right.
Yeah.
They're done.
And that's kind of it. I think there were more in captivity than was recorded. And that sort of leads me into the next part of this story, which is where you fast forward quite a bit. We're in the 21st century. There's this guy named John Spence, and he is a South African zoo director. And he has a little bit of an obsession with Cape lions. Apparently, there were stories of the lion scaling the walls of General Van Riebeek's castle in the 17th century.
Okay.
Which sounded like a rad thing to track down, but I could not find any stories of this. So I don't know how he got that information, what books he's reading, but...
probably just a common bedtime story in South Africa.
Right. It's verbally passed down.
Mm-hmm.
So,
an oral history.
I wanted to see an illustration of one of them, you know, trying to...
give me like 10 minutes. I can do it.
Right. All right. Well, maybe that's what the cover will be this time. Anyway.
I hope you don't mind purple crayon.
Purple crayon.
That's all I got.
I was thinking little thinner lines, but... okay, so John Spence believes that some Cape lions have... maybe found their way to Europe before the species went extinct, to zoos, which I don't think is that far-fetched of a thought. And he searches for these lions for 30 years, like going to zoos everywhere. Does that one have a black mane? Does that look like it could be one, right? Until he finally locates what he believes to be a hybrid Cape lion at Russia's Novosibirsk.
Nailed it.
Zoo. It's a lion with a dark mane, and its name was Simon. We got a name.
Mm-hmm.
This was reportedly a descendant from lions that the zoo acquired in 1961.
Nearly 100 years after they supposedly went extinct.
You're right. That is a long time. So... they think it was from a traveling circus that they got these ones. So if you're like, okay, these lions found their way to a traveling circus in the 1800s, and then they were just, that circus continued to breed them.
Yeah.
Maybe. The chances of them being purebred at that point are pretty slim, I think.
Yeah.
But who knows? Over the years, there had been many cubs born from this one lion that they had acquired. John Spence's plan is to take a couple of Simon's offspring back with him, study them, do genome testing, and basically breed them back into
a super soldier.
Super. I mean, the whole thing is a little crazy because he's really just breeding back, if they are African lions, like Southern African lions, he's just breeding back black tick ears and black mane, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they're a little more big, robust.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm not gonna yuck on someone's yum there. Like, we all have something we get really obsessed with, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Dude, you know, maybe it'll work out.
Yeah.
Maybe the success of Gladiator 2 and people seeing this big black mane lion and saying, what is this? Who is that? How can I help?
Yeah.
Is there anybody obsessively trying to bring back this lineage? Maybe I'll throw them a couple bucks my way.
Right.
And then
$2.
Who knows? Maybe in Gladiator 3, they can use a real one instead of a CG one.
Wouldn't that be great? That means so much.
Yeah.
To see that.
To the world.
Yeah. Okay, so one red flag I did have on this story with Simon and the traveling zoo from the earlier century is that the location of the lions and the color of their manes. So this is like Russia's Novosibirsk Zoo.
Nailed it.
It's cold, okay? And
So false cape lion because he's out there in the cold.
Yeah, they're outside no matter what the weather is, hanging out at that zoo. The black manes could have been a result of those colder conditions. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? No harm in trying, though. So John Spence brings them to Tigerberg Zoo, which is his zoo. He has a zoo. In 2001, not much happens. No testing is actually done, which it's like...
We'll get to it tomorrow.
Yeah. He was searching for 30 years. I get it, though. Maybe he just, the funding, it could be expensive. About 10 years later, Spence dies. And then shortly after that, in 2012, the zoo closes. So at that point, the animals were placed in other zoos or whatnot. And no one really knows what happens.
The mystery.
To the lions. Which is crazy to me. I'm like, nobody bothered to say, hey, can you tell me where those lions are going? It was John Spence's life mission to make this species come back. They're just going to be like, oh, well.
I don't know, man. Indifference.
Yeah.
Maybe if someone just goes on and on and on, you're like, I get it. All right. That's great. Do I feel like the need to pick up the mantle? Do I need to carry this torch? Maybe if you weren't so annoying about it. I don't know. I don't know the situation.
I don't know. So nothing happens. They don't breed those back. There's not much hope for that. No one knows where those lions went, et cetera, et cetera. But here's a name that we haven't brought up in a while. You remember Forrest Gallant?
Mitsubishi Forrest Gallant. 0.9% APR.
He's got that show, or had it. I don't know. I've never actually seen it, which is kind of crazy. Just seen clips online. Extinct or Alive with Forrest Gallant.
Oh, yeah.
And so he went searching for the Cape Lion in Zimbabwe. And so he received a tip that a big black maned lion with black tipped ears had been spotted there, which is, you know, a lot closer to where they originally were from than some zoo in Russia. And so Forrest goes to Zimbabwe, which is where he grew up. And the episode is really emotional. Like, he goes back to his childhood home where they had to evacuate from really fast because there was all this conflict in the region. And,
yeah.
It was.
So I should check it out. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, go check it out on YouTube. So he visits these wildlife reserve that I'm having like a stroke on the show. He visits this wildlife reserve that has reportedly been returned to almost its traditional habitat. There's animals living there without constant threat of human encroachment or hunting, and they've seen this one lion. Forrest also gives me a little information in that video about Cape lions being so big and intimidating that they didn't even travel in prides. Which, I get, because we were talking about those, like, 7 foot tall baseball mm-hmm, players.
Mm-hmm. Basketball, but yeah.
Did I say baseball? Okay, basketball players. I can see a world where you're just like, you're too big to travel in this group. I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably their downfall, because imagine if they did travel in prides with huge, mammoth, gigantic lions. They could have ruled the world.
Like Planet of the Apes, but with lions? Is that where you're going with that?
Maybe.
Yeah? Maybe. And so they were a bit ostracized in general, a little outcasts, these Cape lions. And they reportedly only bothered with larger prey.
Like, yeah.
They would take down a giant beaver, but not a regular sized beaver. Feel
yeah,
it?
They're hungry. They got a big stomach to fill. They're not going to fill up on chips. Give me the entree.
Elephant sized hunger there. Okay, so he goes to this area where it was spotted. And if this is truly a descendant of the Cape lion, then big alert here. It would have had to have traveled over 1,000 miles north.
That's fine. It's been like 100 years since they were last seen in their original territory.
Yeah.
Easily could have escaped that zone where they were all dying.
Okay, yeah, that's true. And another reason where it could be likely is that they could have tracked elephant migrations up a little bit north, because that is one of the routes. So there is a possibility that some of them did go that far. And Forrest is tracking a pride of lionesses in Zimbabwe, and he believes their main prey source now is buffalo, which also was back in the day. But so he's following them, and they see birds and vultures circling in the air over a location that's got a dead animal, and they find this dead bush buck that is intact. He decides he's going to string it up on a tree as bait.
Yeah.
Take it off the ground, get it up so like the air carries it a little bit more, I guess. That's why I'm... And so he builds an elevated blind nearby where he can...
Observe
and tranquilize the Cape lion if it comes, or alleged Cape lion. They also put a speaker in the tree that's playing distressed buffalo noises to try and attract these lions.
Mm-hmm.
The sun goes down, the lionesses with their cubs, they come, it works, and they start eating this bait. Then there's this big growl, and the lionesses, they stop, and they're super spooked by this, and they run away. And then they see a black maned male lion. And this is the one they've been looking for.
Yeah.
They want to tranquilize it, get a DNA sample. He comes closer to the bait. He stops. Something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is a trap. He's smart. And also just probably kind of like, why is this hanging from a tree?
Yeah.
But he turns around and just books it out of there. And I think they got a little bit of him on the camera.
Did they snap a stylized photo of him backlit, you know, riding off into the sunset? Real dramatic, like.
No.
He's looking back over his shoulder as if to say, not today.
No, I didn't see that. I tell you what I did see on the internet, though. There's no photos of these. So there's articles about them, though, and AI has generated images of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't look anything like it. There was one
You're
that was
telling
a
me
felt
version. Mitsubishi Forest Gallant went up in a blind and he didn't bring no camera with a friggin' telescope on it. Telescopic lens. Snap a few photos.
Well, I think they did, but you can't identify. It's nighttime, first of all. Mm. So the colors are not great.
So they think it's a black mane lion.
They think it's a black maned lion. And, you know, if they're that far south or north and it's not a subspecies anyway, like, I'm willing to believe that that is the version of the Cape lion that is more north.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to believe this one.
Me too. Why not? Doesn't cost me anything.
So that's it. I mean, it's not super crazy. This one, it sounds like a beautiful creature. Not a really new story for its extinction or anything. I wish I could have found more information about those ones that were trying to scale that Duke's castle.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. That's it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you probably could have made up a story where it attacked somebody and killed somebody. I think the listeners would have really liked that.
Yeah.
As I've said before, podcast listeners in general are bloodthirsty.
Yes, they are the
gore-mongers.
You're right. Well,
so you got to feed them that red meat, dude. Just make it up.
Do you remember when I said that they could give you a really deep cut, like the paper cut I got?
Yeah, and I got real excited. And then that was kind of the end of it.
Well, they could crush your skull too.
Oh yeah, you did say that part. Okay, maybe you can cut that up and like just kind of sprinkle it into the little as a reminder throughout the episode.
What do you think we should do next? I say next week. It's taken us about a month to get these out at this point, which is embarrassing. Man,
that's really not my department.
Your department is the show up department.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And I post. I show up. Okay.
I thought you were going to say your post, like, on social media.
No.
Definitely.
I don't do that.
How's your...
No, I don't want to talk about
that. How's your...
I don't want to talk about... what, we got some options for next epi?
I was thinking about doing another Bill Zelman story. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you could do one of your man killers. I do think...
Man killer, famous.
Your man eater stories. You're going to make that a series, and then you just did the one.
All right.
So,
remind me.
Did you read that article about the ghost ship or whatever?
Nope.
In Christmas Island? Okay.
Didn't send it
to me. All right. Well, thanks for showing up and posting.
Bye.
Bye. A Peg Leg Deer production.